Welcome everyone to the West Print Sports Review, proudly brought to you by West Print. They're based at 9 Prairie Street in New Lynn. Their phone number is 09827 8531, or you can email them on westprint.co.nz. They're proud sponsors of the Sports Review here, and of course my old mate Phil, who's one of the owners of the company, is an ex-rugby mate of mine, so he's a great bloke, and they're great people there at West Print. Well, wow, I tell you what, winter's here, isn't it, everyone? It is. Was cold this morning. Geez, maybe I needed to get the old harden up pills or something. But anyway, I had a great weekend. I was down at Mount Wellington Domain watching Eden give Marist, in a tough game, but they came through 35-6. Also, our reserves had a good win at the Def, 29-24. Our Lizards, our world champion or New Zealand champion Lizards, had a 70-0 victory over in Waiheke. Tough one for our 21s, but hey, guys, stick together. Also, our senior ones had a win, but it's just some of the club rugby results, and I'm just going to go through them very quickly. Waitemata 38, Suburbs 22. Ponsonby had a tough one against University, but came through 25-22. Pakeranga 67, Waitakere 7, Papatoa 43, Otahuhu 32. Otahuhu might have gained a bit of confidence with that result. And of course, AJ's Mob, Grammar Tech 45. Versus Manukau 3. College Rifles had the bye, and of course Eden have got Grammar Tech this weekend at Gribblehurst Park. We're looking to have a triple header, 11 o'clock to 21s, Eden 21s versus Suburbs, the Premier Reserve games between Grammar Tech and Eden, and Eden and Grammar Tech in the main event at 2:45. And I know who's coming down here, and I've got to explain the rules. Good afternoon, AJ.
Introduction, yes, and I said you got out of jail a bit against Marist, but the big one this weekend, club rugby, Grammar Tech at that ground, Gribblehurst, where you'll be doing all your utmost to upset our lads, probably lock their bloody shed doors so they have to change outside, no hot water, but I wouldn't expect anything less from those yellow and black Edenites.
Now, I'll explain the rules here, AJ. I know that you'll be there on Saturday, so bring a bit of cash because we sell a few raffles, and we want a high behaviour, high decorum at Eden Rugby Club, and, you know, that's what I'll expect out of you. So anyone listening to the show, get down at Gribblehurst Park, watch a bit of a local club rugby, and maybe come upstairs and talk to a legend, or else talk to AJ. So, you know, it's gonna be a good weekend. I'm looking forward to actually hosting you over there, AJ. I've got a feeling that I might have a word to the bar staff to make sure that the rum is of the highest quality for you. Anyway,
thank you. That would be a change. I look forward to it. But, hey, look, it's club rugby. Get out there, support your local team, and go support the bar. They need the dollars, and get yourself out in some fresh air.
Yeah, and I tell you what, and if it's a beautiful day like it was, it is this afternoon, I tell you something, it'll be a good game of rugby. Well, we might as well kick it off with the Super Rugby Friday's game. Hurricanes 41, Highlanders 22. I tell you, I watched a bit of that game, and tell you what, Jack Cariffy's son, had a really good game. What were some of your thoughts on that game, AJ?
Yeah, look, I was intrigued, obviously, to see how the Hurricanes would finish, and they finished with a bang, all right. Yeah, you mentioned Duplessis, Cariffy, nice little try there. Look, I thought it was the Highlanders started well, dominated in the scrum, obviously, and I thought this boy De Groot, hadn't seen him. Thought he certainly had the wood on with Ash Dixon and Tokolahi in the front row there, but as the game went on, we certainly saw the Hurricanes come to the fore, full of action, all over the place at times. It was plenty of entertainment. But I thought the second half, I don't know what they put in the water for the boys, but they came out a different team, the Hurricanes, and now Marpy, probably his best game of the season.
Absolutely.
Dan Coles, as always, he's a pain in the butt, isn't he, Piggy?
Yeah.
And I love him as a player. I think he brings that wee bit of mongrel, and they just scored before halftime, and I think it just changed the pattern of the game. And, Hurricanes, 20-odd points for victors.
Certainly was, and of course, I was quite impressed with Shannon Frizzell, had his usual standard good game.
Yep.
Devin Flanders, I was really impressed with as well too. I think he's really becoming a real good player at that level now, AJ.
Yeah,
then
good lot of Lucy's around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Yeah. You've got combinations, Pinsip, Flanders, Karippi, and then you've got, you know, Frizzell's. I like this boy, Himeno, from Japan, obviously.
Very good.
The boy, he's starting to play consistent. The more he plays at number eight in Harmon. Look, we are blessed with a lot of good loose forwards, and to pick them to go on to represent the country, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a selector, but, yeah, it's a good place to be.
Certainly is, and of course, once we get to now, we might pick an all-black team at the end of the Trans-Tasman Super Rugby, who we think should be in that squad, but that's down the track. Now, the Blues against a very much versus the Chiefs B, because they rested a hell of a lot of players. Blues came through in the end 39-19. Really, the Chiefs really tested them for a lot of that match. Hoskins Satutu, probably one of his best games he's had all year. And, of course, this guy, Peter Gus Sulatola, he's a real good player.
Yeah, no. I thought, obviously... No matter what Glade McMillan said, he was resting, what, up to maybe 10 players. There were certainly some players I hadn't seen a lot of playing in the front row for, obviously, the Chiefs. You know, Mafleo, Slater, Norris. I couldn't, you know, see these guys during the season, so they're all new to me. Lord, the number five, good on them. They had to blood these guys, give them some game time due to their support of the main team during the year. Sui Kulu, you mentioned, Capelli. These are guys I hadn't seen for a long time. So great to see them take it to the Blues. Very even first half, you'd have to say. But surely we expected the Blues to win, Piggy. If they couldn't beat this makeshift Chiefs side, I think we would have some real issues in their performance. Yes, they finished with a win, not good enough. And I think the Chiefs would really walk away with a bit of heart. The last 10 minutes, two converted tries, and they can go down to the Crusaders for the final with some confidence. They've rested their team, their main players, they'll be fresh. And the boys who stood up for them on the weekend, they'll be pretty proud of their performance.
They certainly would, and when it comes to the Trans-Tasman competition, they'll be pushing for places. Well, we'll get to the final. First of all, AJ, what do the Chiefs need to do to beat the Crusaders?
Look, they're going down South Island. I don't think they should change much. I think Clayton's, too great. You know, he's certainly come through the coach of the competition so far as Clayton after all those losses and five, could be six in a row if they take it. And then, of course, you've got Razor Robinson, who we know is a bit of a guru, had a few challenges, a few losses this season. But I think they've just got to stick to the knitting, what they've been doing. There's a lot of belief in that side. They're going to find themselves under pressure. There's no doubt about it. But I think the confidence they've gained with five in a row and the team they put out the park, they've beaten the Crusaders. So, I mean, I think they're confident enough they can come down there, put their game plan in operation. And I think the game really is, you can't say it's a foregone conclusion that the Crusaders are going to win, which is great for the game. It'll be a good crowd, if you say the right conditions. It's going to be a belter of a final. And as I say, these Chiefs guys, that's got something in that team that's called, you know, they look after each other, they'll die for their teammates. And I think you'll see that on the field on Saturday. They're going to have to front up, definitely in the forwards, to take on that massive pack. And if they do that, yeah, I think they've got a good chance.
Yeah, I think you've probably got to have a look at the Crusaders. Obviously, they're going to go in as big favourites. And one thing I am going to say, from what I've just heard you say, the biggest thing about these two teams, they've got something, it's a big C word, culture. Both of them, the Crusaders have always had that winning mentality and that winning culture. The Chiefs have really, during the season, have really grown in grown a culture within their AJ.
Yeah, it's just a belief. I think they're very humble. Not huge amount of stars. You've got your Anton Leavitt Brown, your leadership, you've got your Damien McKenzie who's on fire. So they've got some game breakers there. But when you match it up against the Crusaders, I mean, you know, from Mwanga to Bryn Hall or Drummond there playing, you've got Avili, you've got Jordan, you've got Reese. I mean, it's never ending. So you've got to be on your A game. You've got to be physically intimidating. Don't take a step back. You've got to graft every ball. I think, you know, obviously with their loose forwards, with the Chiefs who've come on and loose some bounds and Lachlan Bashir and you've got Ferguson there, I think they'll be right in their element. They know what's ahead of them, Piggy. They know what they've got to do to try and win this competition.
Definitely.
So I think they'll be going there with a quite confidence in their own ability to take on this huge Crusaders team.
Certainly will, AJ. Well, we might as well pick. What are you picking, Crusaders? Are you picking Crusaders or Chiefs by 12 and under or 12 and over?
I'm picking a draw. Go to the golden point, and it's going to be Mwanga or McKenzie kicking the points to win it. That's where I'm going to leave it.
Okay. Do you know what I'm going to go, AJ? I'm going to go the Crusaders by under 12, but by under, possibly under 7. I think this has got a makings of a really, really good final. And I think, you know, like, I think a lot of people will be watching this game, AJ.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. The two best teams in the final deservedly so. And as I say, the Christchurch supporters should stay at home. They should get off their bums, go and support their team. And will this be 5 or 6 in a row, Stephen? I can't remember if they do it for the Crusaders. So a lot at stake. But I think most of the country will be backing the Chiefs.
So anyone listening in Christchurch, as AJ said, don't be Aucklanders, get down to the game.
Why not? You'll be a cracker.
Anyway, mate, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday when we'll have a few adult beverages, and we'll watch hopefully a good game, which Eden will come through and defend the Fred Allen Cup.
Well, as long as you wear your high heel shoes so I can see you, because at 5'4", I could easily miss you.
Jesus, you even got that wrong. I'm not even that tall.
Look forward to seeing you, Peggy.
See you later, AJ. AJ Wheaton, I tell you what, really good bloke. Looking forward to having a few drinks and a few laughs and probably a few arguments over the game. So we'll just play a bit of music, and next on I'll have Blue McLennan.
Within the sound of silence, in restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. The halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, I split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echo. Silence, and the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls.
Welcome everyone back to the West Print Sports Review here on Planet FM, and proudly brought to you. So this show is proudly brought to you by West Print. And good weekend of NRL over the weekend, and of course the Warriors. Well, tell you what, game of two halves that one. But here to talk to us, as he does every Monday, legendary rugby league coach in New Zealand, Bluey McLennan. How are you, Bluey, mate?
Doing great, Piggy. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Good weekend of NRL, mate. And, of course, the Sunday game, we might as well rip into it. The Warriors, 24. The Cowboys, 20. It was a game of two halves. When I watched the first half, I thought the Warriors were going to put 50 on them. And then the Cowboys, through Valentine Holmes, just came back at us. Just one thing, I'm going to grab your opinion. Reece Walsh, yep. Fantastic player, needs longer sprigs in his boots. Keeps on slipping.
Mate, I think he's just going so far that boots and turf just could not handle that speed, you know, that change of direction. Geez, he's exciting.
It's brilliant to watch here. We've got something special.
Oh, my God, to pick up a player like that, like, what is going on at Brisbane for them to let a player like that go?
Tell you what, if Wayne Bennett was there, he wouldn't let him go.
Not a chance. And it's wonderful, you know. And I think, you know, I was really pleased, and I thought, you know, the Warriors were the far better team. You know, I know it ended up they only won in a close game, but they just looked to have far more strike. Yes, they did have some handling errors in the second half, and you know, the Cowboys completed at 100% and went into that grind, boring style football. But, you know, I thought the Warriors just looked to have so much potential and strike, then they'll mature into being able to play in that grind and go into that exciting style of footy. You know, this Warrior team's got some strike. And you sort of got to keep in mind, too, the Cowboys had won three in a row, you know, and so... For me, it's a good win by the Warriors, and I'm really excited by what the future holds for this Warrior team.
Yeah, well, they've got a tough one next week, Bluey, against Manly, of course, who have Tom Trbojevic back, and which that's going to be a real tough one, I reckon, Bluey. So let's hope the Warriors can get through. But I tell you something, there were some good NRL games over the weekend. The Rabbitohs 34, Raiders 20. Raiders had a few tough calls against them, but Benji, he's got to be, he is definitely in the mix for Dally M.
Yeah, he is. He's been playing some good footy, I thought. You know, for Benji, though, I thought defensively, you know, he was well off. In this game, you know, and he needs to get back into his groove and get that going again. The Raiders, you know, they're in a little bit of trouble here, and they're a side that generally get in the top four over the last few years. So, you know, they've got to get back. Ricky Stewart's got to get that team back on track and get them winning again. They got all the ingredients; they're just not playing well. The Rabbitohs, you know, Cody Walker, very clever, and Reynolds, you know, they're cementing themselves in the top four.
Certainly are, and of course some of the other games. Well, the Storm do what they always do. They beat the Sharks 40 points to 14. Broncos versus Titans. Now, this one was a good one. 38-28. They were down 22-0. This was a great win by the Broncos, and Jermaine Osako had a really good game for them.
Yeah, that was kind of my favourite game to watch over the weekend, actually. It was really exciting. And, you know, given that it's a derby match between, you know, the two teams, and, you know, for the Broncos, just wanted to see them get some relief and, you know, and Kevin Walters get some relief. And so, you know, that was just a fantastic comeback. You know, whether that gives them confidence going forward in their other games, I'm not sure. There still seems to be a bit of a soft underbelly at the club. But an exciting game to watch all the same.
And, of course, the Nathan Cleary show keeps on going. They had a 28-16 win over the Sea Eagles. good to see Tom Trbojevic is still playing fantastic football, but Liam Martin had a really good game. Roosters, 38, really gave the Knights a spanking 4, but big concerns there, maybe a career-ending injury to Brent Morris with an ACL.
Yeah, it's just super sad, isn't it, really? You know, the Morris brothers, the twins, they're just wonderful. You know, there isn't a rugby league fan that doesn't love those two. You know, they've always played with great spirit, whether they've been, you know, Dragons, Cronulla or Bulldogs, you know, both now at the Roosters and having some great success in the last few seasons. You know, hopefully that's not the last we'll see of Brett. You know, and for the Roosters, they're just, you know, copping loads of injuries. Fortunately, they've got a load of depth, and we might see the next superstar starting this week.
Yeah, well, of course, they've already produced one in Sam Walker. And, of course, getting back to the Panthers-Manly game, that was Liam Martin really had a good game there as well too. And, of course, Michael Maguire, will be a bit more happier this week, a 16-8 win over the Dragons. Good game by that. Dane Laurie's a good footballer.
He's been really good, hasn't he? He's been the difference for the Tigers. And, you know, and even when they haven't played that well, Dane Laurie's gone pretty good. You know, like, we're lucky we had this young, wonderful talent coming through. You know, you mentioned Sam Walker before, and isn't he an outstanding player? You know, five try assists and a try. And, you know, Dane Laurie, same, a young player, just coming through, going great guns. And Reece Walsh, you know, where, how far is he going to go? You know, the potential's enormous. So just seeing the young ones coming through is just so wonderful.
It certainly is, and I have to say, I was speaking to a friend. I was watching the game, not at home, but at a nice place with a couple of friends, and we were just saying about Reece Walsh. I believe the Warriors may have unearthed the next Jonathan Thurston.
Well, he's just got that sheer speed, you know, and he's gotten a good awareness when he's in space. He's got that left foot kick, which really, really will help the Warriors. Cohen Hess found them too, you know, when he was harassing him on a kick and give him a real good shot. So it was the old welcome to the NRL, son. You know, let's see how you go. And Reece, you know, he dusted himself off and got back into the game and put himself in the big moments. Look, really excited by this kid. You know, and I think all Warrior fans are, you know, they're frothing, aren't they? You know, seeing something special like him. You know, and the team just looked threatening. And some of the tries they scored were just absolutely beautiful tries. They weren't they were going through them. They weren't off kicks or right around the outside, as a lot of teams are doing. Warriors have got, you know, they've got some real strikers. It's just a matter of them maturing and managing the game, and managing those tough periods of the game, and they'll get better at that because they're still a new side. So, really excited by them, Piggy. Let's hope they can gain some momentum here and touch wood, you know, stay healthy.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the make thing the in eight. This competition, stay healthy
and maybe make the eight. Well, I've picked our game of the week for us, Bluey. Now you've caught up a bit, so. Our game of the week is going to be the Thursday game, the Rabbitohs versus the Storm. This should be a hell of a game.
And it's Rabbitohs' home game.
Yep.
Okay, well, mate, I'll go the Storm. I didn't mention young players. Like, I know Harry Grant played last year, but in my humble opinion, mate, I think we're seeing the birth of they finished with Cameron Smith, who's the best game management player that there's ever been. And now they got Harry Grant, and he's going to become one of the best hookers we've ever seen. He is so good. So for me, yeah, Storm and Harry Grant, the more they play with Harry Grant in game situations, the better the Storm are going to get at reading when he picks up on quick ruck speed and, you know, just retreating third defenders. This kid just is seeing it all at this age. He's got an old head on young shoulders, and he's athletic. He's a special star. But I'll go Storm, mate.
Okay, well, I'll be happy to take the Rabbitohs. Well, thanks again, Bluey, but for your input into today, and of course we'll have a chat, and hopefully I can get one over you in the Spates Challenge.
In the Spates Challenge, lovely.
Well, the Lion Red
good
Challenge.
Good one, Piggy. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, thanks, Bluey. That was Bluey McLennan. What a good bloke he is. Geez, he knows his stuff, hey. It's always good. I always enjoy my chats with him. Okay, a bit of music, and we'll get on to a bit of football. No Brendan McNeice this week, or some of you might be actually quite happy. But we've got former All-White Noel Barclay. So we'll just talk a bit of football. Welcome everyone back to the Westprint Sports Review here, proudly brought to you by Westprint. And I have to say, good weekend of football, but a bit of controversy with the Manchester United-Liverpool game being called off, with angry fans storming the field and protesting against the current owners of Manchester United, the Glazers. And no Brendan McNeice this week, but I'm really happy to have on. He's been on here a few times and his input's fantastic. Former All-White Noel Barclay. Good afternoon, Noel. How are you?
Good, Eamon. Interesting morning indeed. I woke up at 5 o'clock hoping to watch the replay of the game. Couldn't find it anywhere. Sent off a couple of pointed notes to the Spark digital team, and they said, come back and have a look at the news. So it was a bit of a shock, really, and a bit disappointing because I was looking forward to that game.
Yeah, so was I, but many. So I've had a few texts from the odd scouser saying that you'll try anything to keep us out of the Champions League position. But yeah, but just with this, the supporters and the Glazers have really, for a number of years, it's been a real frosty relationship between them. And of course, with the failed Super League, European Super League, which Manchester United, the Glazers put Manchester United into that position. I think I don't know whether the Glazers are going to be around for long, and if they go, who's going to take over? Because you're going to have possibly another billionaire taking it over and running the club at the end.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's 16 years since the Glazers took over and bought it with a bunch of debt. And using their assets to buy it. And, Joel Glazer, in his apology to the fans the other day, said he wanted to regain the trust. Well, I mean, the reality is they've never had the trust of the fans all along the way. And right now, I mean, it's at the lowest possible ebb ever. And I think it's not just Man United. It's a lot of those English teams. I think the Spanish teams seem to have got off lightly. Their fans just seem to put up with whatever they're told. But they're certainly not going to change the things that happen in English football. The heritage is too big. You know, promotion relegation, they're just not going to happen. And I would have thought the value of Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool, all of those clubs have gone down dramatically because it's just, it's all bad news.
It is all bad news, and I have to say, as a Manchester United supporter, it's sad to see. And of course, really, with the Glazers come in, I just feel that in the last few years, it's just got, the relationship has just got absolutely terrible. So, but we'll get to some of the EPL results. Some Southampton had a 1-1 draw with Leicester. Leicester looks like, Noel, that I think they may have enough to stay in that top four.
I'm still a little bit wary of Leicester because they have a brutal last three games. I mean, a lot of people probably not aware of the fact that they got Man United away, Chelsea away, and then Tottenham at home. So with Tottenham winning this morning, if they'd have beaten Southampton, I think they were probably there. But they have, they've got a really bad run in, and it's theirs to lose. But they did that last year. Falling off, so I'm not 100% on them. Chelsea, definitely, they're going to hang in.
Yeah.
There's a bit of mutter this morning about Liverpool getting 3 points for the game at Old Trafford because it wasn't their fault, and there's nowhere to play the game, so it would be Man United would be punished because of what happened, and that's pretty scary. That we'd help the Scousers into fourth, but
give them nothing.
Interesting. Give them nothing, absolutely.
Yeah, but some of the other results, like Brighton had a 2-0 win over Leeds, they're safely back in the Premiership. Chelsea 2 over Fulham. Fulham looks like they're going down to the Championship. Everton's chances, and it was really slim, went down to Aston Villa 2-1. Arsenal had a 2-0 win over Newcastle. I think Newcastle are fairly safe, and of course Spurs, Gareth Bale, a hat-trick over Sheffield United, nil.
West Ham, Spurs, Liverpool obviously are sort of hoping for Chelsea to sort of slip up. I think, I can't believe Everton lost at home to Villa. It's just the worst possible result you could have imagined.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately. I mean, they've been up in and around that top four all season, and now they've just fallen away at the end, which is disappointing. I think the bottom three are as they are. I mean, yep. Scott Parker's talking about Fulham winning the last four games and getting up. Well, I mean, good luck to him. But I don't see that happening. Obviously, Burnley, Brighton, Newcastle look pretty safe. Nice to see Woodsy score a couple more goals tomorrow when they play. So, yeah, I think it's all done and dusted at both ends of the table, really.
I think anyone in New Zealand, apart from West Ham supporters, would like to see Chris Wood score a few goals tomorrow, Noel.
Yeah, well, there is a few West Ham supporters around. I mean, they've had a great year, but again, they sort of looks like they're just going to fall away. They're definitely missing Declan Rice. I mean, that's a huge loss. He's been amazing for them, and I hope on earth we go. He's a player that I'd love to see at Old Trafford. But they've done well. It'd be good to see them get a European spot of some description. They certainly deserve it.
Certainly does. Well, we'll just move on to a bit of Champions League. I don't know whether the home advantage counts for much these days, Noel, because during the week, Manchester City had a 2-1 win over PSG. Chelsea went away and drew 1-1 with Real Madrid, but don't know whether this home advantage means much in this COVID world we're living.
I don't think so. the flight from England to Spain is, I don't know, 60 minutes, and they jump on a nice coach and they're in their beds, so I don't think it really matters. They fly home after a game, so they do the recovery. I don't think it makes much difference, which is a bit of a shame. But those games are sort of, they're still pretty much open. I think the key for Paris will be that Mbappe's fit. He was unfit for the weekend in the league game, and I think if they don't have him, they sort of, Neymar on his own, he doesn't really have anybody to link up with. So I think that game is there to be won for Paris, although I think Man City will win. They've got the advantage, obviously. I think they'll win. The other game is a flip of a coin, really. Ramos is meant to be back for Madrid, and they're a different beast when he's playing. And Benzema is just the classiest forward around at the minute. I think that could go either way, but I do think that it'll be an all England final, Man City Chelsea, which in Poland. So yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm beginning to agree with that. I think the Europa League may go be in all England at this time. Just quickly, on to the Phoenix, had a nil-all draw against Brisbane. Now, I didn't get to see the whole game, but I watched the highlights, if you can call them highlights on certain things. But a nil-all draw, they're still in the hunt for top six. I'm beginning to think it might just be getting away from them, but some really good news for Phoenix fans. They're coming home for a few games.
The fact that they're coming home is amazing, really. I hope that those games, especially the Wellington one, is a sellout. And Eden Park, we're sort of mobilising a group of us ready to go at the Eden Park game. They needed to win that game, and they certainly had absolutely the best chances. They were the better team. Pitch was obviously almost unplayable, but they did miss some chances. And I think that they're going to rue that. I watched the Sydney derby afterwards, and Sydney, Sydney were all over Western Wanderers, and they just hit them on the break three times. It was a bit of a weird game, and that was a big win for them because they're one of those teams that they're challenging against. Perth Glory, obviously another team that's struggling to get into the six. So if Phoenix got to start winning. I'm not sure how many games they've got left, three or four. They need to win probably all of those games to make sure.
Yeah.
Because there are other teams there that have got lesser games played. They're not the finished article, but they certainly play a bit of football, which is nice to see.
They certainly are, and I'm really impressed with this young New Zealand striker, Ben Wayne. Very, very good finisher.
Yeah, and the other one for me was the lad Sutton that's come in and deputised for McGarry. I mean, I thought McGarry had been excellent in the early games. And this guy Sutton, he's in the same level. And so we've got, along with Libika Kachi, we've got left backs for Africa. And but the star for me in that team is Davia. I mean, he just looks different class. He just glides over the ball and almost untouchable. And unfortunately, he really hasn't had the support up front. Apart from Ben Wayne, come well, but Hamid has really sort of been a bit of a disappointment for me, given his pedigree. He should be really, really dominant in the Phoenix games, and he really overall hasn't done that for me.
He certainly hasn't. He scored a late one once and twice, but really impressed with Davila. Really been impressed with Clayton Lewis as well too. So let's hope that the Phoenix can make that top six. And I'm really, I tell you what, hopefully I can get to Eden Park for that Phoenix game. I might even catch up with you, Noel, and buy you a sarsaparilla or two.
Oh, I'll have a Kilkenny actually.
Well, no problem, mate. I definitely owe you a few as well too, Noel. So. Hey, listen, Noel, thanks a lot for coming on here. Really enjoyed your contribution today, and hopefully we chat it again. And we won't mention Scotland. That's why I've got a feeling McNeice isn't here, because Rangers beat Celtic 3-1.
Well, I'm a Rangers supporter, just by the fact that where I was born. So, it's good to see another old firm come our way.
Yeah, well, I've just got a text from the person who was supposed to be here mentioning something. But anyway, hey, great chatting to you, Noel. Have a great day.
Okay, mate. Have a good day.
Cheers. That was Noel Barclay from All White. Really good stuff that he brings to the show. So I'll just pull a bit of music next. And at the next turn, we'll have the panel, Mark Watson and Sean Summerfield.
Spend a lot of time thinking about the situation I'm in. Get it once in every while, but I never really make sense of it. Should ink the lyric down like the figure eight on my wrist. One day I figure it out, then drill it into my head. Moving on. Take all I learned.
Welcome, everyone, back to the West Print Sports Review. And, of course, this is a part of the show, the adult part of the show of opinion, the part of opinion, the part where a lot of people enjoy. And we have our panellists here, and the man, the legend, Mark Watson. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Afternoon to you, Eamon. Afternoon to you, Sean.
G'day, mate. How are you?
And, of course, we can't forget the one and only Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. How are you, Sean?
I'm great, great. Great to talk to you, boys.
Yeah, good. Hey, Sean, what a weekend of motorsports, especially if your name's Scott. What the IndyCars, yeah, Kiwi great, won great, too.
Great socks, yes. Just brilliant. And, Scott Dixon does again, taking the lead of the series. A tougher run this morning, but Scott McLaughlin, things worked out well for him. But remember, he's a rookie. And these cars, keep in mind, they are they wouldn't do a lap time in a Formula One track as quick as a Formula One car. They're different sort of braking, suspension, and aerodynamics. But the actual top speed is faster. And at the Indy 500, I mean, they come past at close to 400 k's an hour. And here on this banked oval, and it doesn't take much for things to go bad and all sorts. Scott is adapting to this big time. He's gone from, driving a brick to driving a proper race car. And old Texas is a pretty hard out. It's a tight oval. It's only, 1.5 mile oval compared to Indy, just 2.5. But just brilliant. But how about Scott yesterday? 206 of 212 laps he led. That was just phenomenal.
Absolutely, Sean. And what about the F1? What were some of your thoughts?
Oh, same again. Oh man, it's good to see some fight this year. But it's funny. This year feels to me like a holding pattern. Sort of geeking it out a bit, but. That cars are only sort of not, they're not really moved on from last year. Some of them have called them like a B car, if it makes sense. It's just only a couple of little things change because they've got a whole new sort of car coming in, all to do with cost saving and whatnot. So the way I sort of saw this year, it was always going to be hard for anyone to catch Mercedes because they've got so much pace already. But, Red Bull have been getting there and getting there. And the bit I love, and I'm trying to keep you awake here, Mark, but Honda have been in and out of Formula One, and they started okay, then disappeared. They couldn't get the glory days they used to have in the days of the Senna and whatnot and the McLaren. So anyway, Honda are pulling out after this year. And the talk is that Red Bull might take on the engine program and run it themselves, which would be quite great. Makes them a step towards being a proper old-school team. But now suddenly this Honda engine is clearly working really well. It's the one that McLaren chucked away so they could use the Mercedes engine. So it's sort of a soap opera. She's all really pretty entertaining. But it's interesting now that they are the ones, obviously, they're a big team and they can take it to Mercedes. But I'm fascinated by what's going on with, Ferrari. They're clearly faster. McLaren have got momentum. And there's other teams that coming up there as well. We've actually got a really, especially this AlphaTauri outfit, we've got a really cool series. But we were just not wide open and right at the top. And, as I said, I think it's really who's going to finish second to Mercedes this year. That's just where I'm at. I can't be excited yet.
Okay, Mark, what were some of your thoughts on the motorsports over the weekend?
Oh, look, I was just thrilled for Scott McLaughlin. We've talked about him on the program, just being that X-factor driver, and it's only really a matter of time. And I think we saw that. I think we saw that today with his eighth place finishing. And I think it just looked reinforced what I think we've said. I think motorsport in this country is arguably as strong as it's ever been. And I think we're smart enough and intelligent enough that realise that motorsport's not just defined by F1 and that we can look outside of that. And so, look, Scott McLaughlin, Shane Van Gisbergen, Scott Dixon, you know, it's just great for nationalism, isn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous that we didn't hand out Helberg Awards for last year for some stupid reason. Some sports did go ahead, and, you know, I think our drivers would have been at the forefront of that. And so,
Sorry, mate. The thing is, too, with Scott, his 51st win, he's going to finish as probably the second greatest driver in American Formula and so Open Wheel history. That's where he's going. Sorry to jump in there.
Behind AJ Foyt at the moment, isn't he? He's chasing Mario Andretti, I think, for one more win puts him alongside of Andretti, I think, was the statistic I read.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, well, it is when you think about a boy from Pukekohe, you know, who was sort of funded, got over there, and but I just like the fact too that these guys just bring a little bit of that Kiwi mouse. It's not spoon fed there. You know, they're good drivers, but they've clearly got a very good understanding of the mechanics and the engineering and all the rest of it, and provide a lot of input and bring a little bit of that sort of Kiwi mouse to the table as well, which is something I don't think you can buy, and I think it's intrinsically a Kiwi thing, and I think that's why we've always got to make sure that we sort of maintain that in our culture and that we don't get sort of too woke and that we don't sort of, you know, that we do just encourage a little bit of that sort of backyard Kiwi shed, she'll be right mentality.
Yeah, you can't be nervous at the speed these guys are going. I just had a look, Mark, because I know you love your numbers. This season, so Scott's first in the championship now. Scott McLaughlin's eighth overall in the championship as well as that finish today. But look at laps led. Scott Dixon, 369. The next best laps led for the season is 97. that's huge. And he's also had a win and then four top five finishes. So where the old master's doing it is he's consistent.
And I'd argue too that, you know, I mean, you've got to have incredible mental fortitude anyway just for the concentration for these races. But also I'd argue that you've got to have even more mental fortitude when you're leading a race. I think it's easier to chase and try and manoeuvre past somebody. But when you're leading and looking over your shoulder the whole time, yeah, I think the stakes just increase a little bit. And, you know, again, it just reinforces his you know, mental fortitude and that, you know, what separates him is that top 2 inches.
You're a pioneer there, but there's a great saying, guys, that when they reckon that when you have kids, you lose a couple of tenths a lap, you slow down because you've got responsibilities. Scott's gone the other way. He's 40. He's got three kids. And I said to him, "Are you slowing down?" He goes, "No, mate. I need more money to pay for the kids. I've got to win more races now." He said it's gone the other way with him.
Very good. Hey, guys, I hate to mention, this is the one part of a Silver Lake deal, New Zealand Rugby versus the New Zealand Players Association. Part of me says, take the money, don't worry about it. Part of me tells the Players Association, stop being so greedy. And the other part says, this money is too, it's too good to be true. I just want to grab you before starting off with you, Mark.
Yeah, look, I just want to try and gain some more understanding of exactly what this deal is. I don't think there's been as much transparency as perhaps we, the public, deserve. I mean, at the end of the day, they're custodians for our game, yes, primarily represented by clubs and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the game does need money. There's no doubt about that. It is getting tougher. We don't have a big population here, so we don't have scale, and therefore, you know, we need to look offshore for our commercial opportunities. What is it they're exactly selling? Are they just selling 15%? In the commercial side of it, it seems to be a bit of grey area. But as for the players, you know, they've got this deal where they take 36 or 40% of revenue that New Zealand Rugby bring in. But I don't think anybody, when they sort of signed that agreement, expected that mean, hey, we'll take 40% of $450 million and we'll put that into some nice little trust fund and we'll just start suddenly increase player payments and stuff. The game is really struggling in this country. I actually believe our players, you know, at the highest level, are actually paid too much. I mean, we had a group of players last year and we didn't win a World Cup in 2019. As you said, we dropped tests to Argentina, Australia and stuff last year. There seems to be very little accountability. You know, New Zealand Rugby Land ran at a loss last year of $35 million. Does the New Zealand Players Association absorb 40% of that? No, they don't. I just don't like the fact that 150-odd players are holding the game, you know, holding a gun to the head of rugby in this country and trying to sort of make out that it's not just about the money, that it's not just about them. Well, I don't believe that for any one moment. I think that, I think that the Players Association, Rob Nicol, I think he enjoys the power game. I think he enjoys being a power broker. You've only got to see how long he's actually been in that job, and it's a considerable time now. I mean, I think he'd go against the grain of how long people spend in sort of one job for, you know, for too long.
It's interesting here,
guys. There's no point getting 450 and selling the stake in the All Blacks, and half of it goes to the players.
No.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Mark. If when TV3 got sold, for example, to Discovery, I'm pretty sure none of the stars on TV3 got a say, you know. And I'm just thinking with these players, yes, they're the draw card when people watch. But, you know, I went last time I went to Eden Park, I looked at the number of people that are involved in putting that game together. The food, the security, the cleaning, there's hundreds and hundreds of people involved in the hospitality, all these things. It's the people who promote the game, because without them, you don't even know about anyone. There's a whole lot of stuff going on in the background that I think has been sort of forgotten or left out of it. The other question I've got is, if the All Blacks have this incredible value, and New Zealand rugby's got this incredible value internationally, why, when we have plenty of creative talent and entrepreneurs in New Zealand, why haven't they been able to sell it to the world? What do these people know that our people don't? Who can they reach that our people can't? And that's the one I'm thinking. And how many people are working at the rugby union that aren't getting off their chuff and actually selling these things that they could? Because if these guys see that it's there and it's worth this much, it can't be that much of a secret.
Well said indeed. Yep. Sean, I mean, yeah. But I agree. I mean, I think I said this once before, but I remember tuning up to an Auckland rugby function, an awards night, and I was talking to one of the accountants there, and they were about to play Canterbury that weekend in the semi-final, and they weren't quite sure how it was going to play out, and they said, look, if we host Canterbury, we get the home advantage, but it'll cost us the union $100,000 because we just won't get the bums on seats, and that's the cost of opening up Eden Park and all the rest of it. And that's the issue that these unions do face, and then you take it down another level to what's happening at club rugby, and club rugby's dying. And then, you know, these players saying, well, it's about us. Well, it's not. I mean, the game's still, you know, the likes of Dan Carter and McCaw, they've moved on, and a new group of players have come through. People are still watching it. There's still an interest there. Do I miss Kieran Reid, who's getting paid $1 million a year? No, not really. but I don't. But, you know, but at the end of the day, what they've also got to remember is this game was actually built, the All Black brand was actually built on a group of players who were amateurs for well over 100 years. And so, you know, the game will always survive, and it's just about trying to find some balance.
Actually, you've made me think of something here, Mark, and just to sort of, you know, you're talking about the, you know, the money that they're making and where they go. My understanding was the only reason Sandar existed and that whole field worked was because of South Africa. Because without South Africa, it bankrupt. That's where all the money comes from, which is pretty scary in itself, having been there and seeing what it's all built on. But that is, from what I understand, the same way that the All Blacks have Investec on there, or had Investec on there, or Uniforms or Super Rugby did, that's a South African investment firm that can't get in because of Absa Bank in South Africa, so they come in here. So we've already got sponsors that have nothing to do with New Zealand who have been involved over the last few years. But I'm wondering if this is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to the fact that South Africa want to bugger off.
But look, I mean, you go back to Steve Hansen and Steve Chu, who, in my opinion, have a lot of responsibility for where the game's at the moment, making the All Blacks so, so top-heavy. And now we're starting to see the game really struggle because of it. And haven't the Players Association learned anything here? That at the end of the day, yes, in the short term, you can take the bit of a cash grab and say, look, we deserve this. Or you can sit back and go, look, actually, a health game at grassroots level right through is actually better for everybody in the long term. And and so that's the argument, I guess, for the players. But I think you make some good points in and around the administration. Is the administration here being irresponsible? Should they be going out and looking for some alternatives? Or is this just, you know, I'll keep saying, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be legal. Or in this case, maybe it's just, yes, it's a great deal, but how morally corrupt is it? What sort of detail do we really know?
Yeah. Hey, because I'm thinking, I reckon we could sit down and we could all name someone that's involved in a rugby club somewhere,
yep,
who's played and gives a lot of time, who probably puts in an effort that's equivalent to what the All Blacks put in individually as people, and they do it for the love of the game. And due to genetics or heaven, whatever they've got it from, these All Blacks can run faster and catch better than the rest of us. But that's all. And
I'll put it down to genetics, is why I didn't make the All Blacks.
Yeah, I'm with you because I want to blame something, mate.
Yeah.
You know, but
it wasn't the fact that I slept in and couldn't tackle or anything else. It was just purely genetics.
Yep, I'd have to agree on that too, because anyone that knows me is definitely genetics. Genetics has let me down a lot in life, so yeah, so I'll agree on that. Anyway,
Can I just mention one thing? I was lucky enough to commentate New Zealand Secondary School's water polo over the weekend, and it was a great tournament, but very, very good boys' final between Rangitoto, who have won it multiple times in the last 20 years, up against Hamilton Boys, and no school outside of Auckland's ever won the New Zealand Water Polo Championships, and ended up being a classic final. Hamilton Boys finally winning it in the last 20 seconds, 7-6. So that school, which has a rich history, takes away the New Zealand Secondary School's water polo title, but it was just a wonderful, wonderful game. And, you know, full credit to both schools. And on the girls' side, it was Diocesan, who really just have a bit of a monopoly on that. So I thought I'd just sort of mention water polo.
Oh, just mega, mate. Yeah, it's amazing.
The Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah.
Chucking a ball around while people are trying to drown you. It's an amazing game. I don't know how they do it.
Incredibly tough aerobically, absolutely brutal what they endure.
But it's not just staying afloat. People are trying to get you underneath the water, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And then you've got to use this egg beater kick to try and get as high out of the water as you can to shoot, which requires a huge amount of energy. And then next minute you're swimming flat out down the other end of the pool to try and defend, and then you're back on attack. And, you know, it's wonderful, ugly faces. They're just trying to find oxygen from anywhere.
Mate, a mate of mine's nephew went and played in Hungary professionally.
Wow.
And it's interesting, he told me how big it was there, but it's all run by the mafia and that. And he said that's a whole different world, that game. But, we don't appreciate how big that game is internationally.
Oh, huge. Absolutely massive, yeah. No, it's good. It's a good sport. It's sitting there on Sky Next on YouTube, but anyone sort of into their secondary school sports or might be alumni from those two schools, there to watch.
Yep, and it's always good promoting the local sports out there, Mark, as well, too. Well, I have to say, gentlemen, we've just got a minute to go, and I have to say that really your contribution today has been fantastic, both years, and it was really good discussing that Silver Lake deal. It's, you brought to the a lot of honest opinion out there, guys.
Silver Lake, if you sell a share, do we get a cut? Or are we in the association? How's it work?
Well, I'll be lucky to buy. I can only afford to buy used to a beer or a coffee.
Oh, look, I'm married, mate. I'm used to being neglected. Don't worry about it.
Okay, that's good. And that was a bit of marriage advice and a bit of coffee tips from me. And I have to say, gentlemen, you guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll just wrap up the show. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Okay, so we've got, 10 seconds to go, so thanks everyone for listening in. It's been a really, really good show today. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, so I'll catch you next week.